We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
When you hear that a sheriff walks into a courthouse and executes a sitting judge, your mind automatically goes to cold-blooded murder, right? Well, the thing with this is that the sheriff is the one who kills the judge. Well, he was deposed in a lawsuit implicating that very judge in a courthouse sex for leniency scandal. What if I told you that when he turned himself in, his first words were about his wife and daughter being in danger? Now, the defense is pushing a mental health angle, claiming he was suffering from an extreme emotional disturbance and now have even upped it to insanity. So was this a calculated act of revenge, or was this a man in complete psychological collapse? Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining us from a clinical standpoint. What does it take for someone to reach a psychological breaking point like this and commit such an extreme act? And do these extreme emotional responses happen instantly, or is this something that, you know, maybe built up over time a bit in a case like this?
Boy, this is a guy I would love to sit down and talk to and get a sense for him. It's so hard to know. Extreme emotional disturbance, which is what they're claiming here, isn't a clinical diagnosis. You don't find it in our diagnostic manual. So it's a legal term that you find in just a handful of states. Not all states even use it. Apparently they do there. So what does it mean? Usually it's alluding to the kind of event, the thing that's always referenced is walking in on your wife in bed with another man and picking up a gun and shooting him because you're just so upset. Mm-hmm. So it implies that you're not mentally ill, you're just a regular person, but you're so distraught by something that any of us can relate to that you lose control in that situation. So it implies that it's not premeditated. But when they throw in insanity, that would imply something completely different, that there is a pre-existing mental health condition of some sort. We hear no evidence about that. So unless there's a lot of, you know, other things that are just not being discussed at this point, it's really hard to say.
And there's so much of this case that we don't know about yet. We don't know what was on that phone. We don't know why he said they're going to get my family, why his daughter was called right before this took place, what happened in that deposition. There's so many unknowns. But yeah, to go to insanity, that seems like a bit of a leap, just from the extreme emotional, angle of this. Wouldn't you have to show like a pattern of behavior? Can insanity just come on? Are there moments that can truly be looked at like this? Or is it something it's kind of a gradual build or just kind of a continuum?
Most of the time it's a gradual build and a continuum, although there can be incidents of a psychotic condition could be related to a medication. Certainly, we know that people who use meth can have abrupt psychotic breaks with bizarre delusions. The sheriff doesn't strike me as a meth user, though. But was there something else, something in the environment that triggered a psychotic break and he became aggressive and violent? That's always possible, but we haven't heard any evidence of that. And it seems like it would have been something other people were noticing as well, at least, you know, within a few hours of this murder.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's a sheriff and he's, you know, executing his job, I'm not trying to make a pun there, but he's doing his job, as normal up until this point. I don't know where you're going to go with that. the assumption that I think has been made so often, and we don't know the answer to this, is that maybe that this is, he's a hero in a weird vigilante sort of way. Maybe he found out information and he was stopping this monster from continuing and taking the law into his own hands. I tend to wonder, honestly, more the fact that he's been operating with this judge for many years. They are very good friends. They were even family at one point through marriage. That he probably had some inkling of what was going on over here. And if you're the sheriff and you're letting that sort of stuff go on, that's not a good thing. I'm almost wondering if there was, and this is just my conjecture, I'm wondering if he found out something in that deposition based on the questions that were asked that the judge was going to have something on him and that it was going to turn on the sheriff in a very horrible way. And the only thing he can do to stop that is eliminating the judge. That seems to be almost a little more logical in my mind. I know it's more glass half empty, but considering the circumstances, what's your thought?
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility. We can take it in a variety of directions. And it you know, again, if there was something that he was trying to expose, something horrendous about the judge going on, one would think there were a lot of other options rather than just pulling out the gun and shooting him like that, which, of course, has only ruined his own life as well. So it's weird.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the insanity comes in or the extreme emotional distress. I mean, that's like, okay, well, I guess if you're facing that and all of your skeletons are coming to light, you might not be in the best mental space, which, you know, maybe I guess could drive someone to that sort of feeling of, you know, like you made the example of the husband walking in on the wife cheating on him. I mean, could that, what would that defense be like? I mean, how would you bring that up into a case like this? If, I mean, because again, you have to assume that then the other parts of the other case are going to be put in here and some of those blanks will be filled in and we don't know if they will. Other than just saying he found out something really horrible and shocking and this is how he reacted.
Yeah, I think that kind of a defense you would be hoping for. Compassion from the jury to obtain a lesser charge and certainly to mitigate in the penalty phase if he were convicted. So it's just to build empathy, that look that could have been any one of us. If we heard that kind of disturbing information, that we would react that way.
The fact that he surrendered without resistance right after this happened, he walks out into, you know, the lobby area, puts his gun away to the on the counter, gives it to them and basically says, arrest me right now. That doesn't sound like an insane person. Or maybe that is completely insane. Maybe he should have run, you know? Yeah. But it seems fairly calculated.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like somebody who's grounded in reality and knows the penalty for what he just did and knows it's wrong and had a target for whatever his reasons were, had a specific target. He wasn't just out randomly shooting people. So it does not really sound like someone who was so out of their mind that they didn't know what they were doing and didn't know that it was wrong.
The fact that this was a small department, and this is going to be just kind of opinion and conjecture here. This is a very small department. There's only so many people in it. It was a deputy under Steins that the part of the sexual allegations were about was that he was taking people into the judge's chamber. And basically it was, you know, you give me sex and you won't have to be in jail, basically. That was a deputy under him. And part of the argument here was that, well, Mr. Steins, you're above this person. Why didn't you train these people better? How is this going on underneath your nose and watch? It does make me wonder how many other folks in this department may know about this, you know, or be involved in this. And I'm not saying that for sure. I'm not going to say any names because I have no idea. But the fact that this seems to be so kind of out in the open to a certain extent, you're using the judge's chamber. There's got three people here who seem to have some knowledge of this stuff going on. And they're investigating this. There may be some incentive not for the full story to come about because there may be other people implicated in the sex stuff nothing to do with the murder. Mm-hmm. And that may be some incentive not to, you know, look in certain holes, I would think. I would think that the investigation on this is going to have to be looked at really with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because it's hard to imagine that other people were absolutely clueless about it. I agree.
Yeah, it's it is a mess. We'll see where this all goes.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapist provides specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.